Okay, on this edition of Connection Spotlight, we're really happy to have once again Paul Layton on with us from the Salem News. And Paul primarily covering Beverly, but covering other stuff as well. Paul, welcome back. How are you doing this summer?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thanks for having me on. Always enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. I always love talking, getting deeper into these stories and see what you're working on. I want to start, Paul, with a story that's been hanging around for a while now and is... It's fairly upsetting, I think, on many different levels, and it has to do with an assisted living facility locally where a resident has been forced to move out, and that's a rather senior resident. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with all of that.
Sure, Rick. Yeah, this one really surprised me. So there's an assisted living facility right in downtown Beverly. It was mostly known as Ocean View, but it was bought by a new company earlier this year, and the new company, a couple of months ago, told all the residents, there were 67 residents at the time, that they had 90 days to move out because the company wanted to renovate the building, and they said they couldn't do it with the residents there. So this really upset a lot of people, as you can imagine. These are people who live in an assisted living residence by definition, are more vulnerable, older, have health complications. Moving for anybody is disruptive, but particularly for these residents, it's really problematic. And what I found out, which I was surprised at, that there is no regulation beyond what governs the normal landlord-tenant relationship that applies to assisted living. So in other words, if you're living in an apartment somewhere and the landlord wants you to move and is going to sell or renovate, they have to give you 90 days notice, and that's the same rule for an assisted living facility. So I've been covering it over the last few months, and I profiled this one woman, 99 years old, longtime Beverly resident. She's in a wheelchair. She's actually in surprisingly good health for her age, and I kind of followed it along over the last month and what it entailed for her family to try to find a new place. The biggest problem is, you can't just say, all right, move. All right, I'm going to move over here with this sort of this bureaucracy surrounding the assisted living world and nursing homes. Anybody who's been involved in this or has a parent or grandparent involved in this knows about this, how difficult it is to find a place and get the insurance right. So anyway, the bottom line, it was really difficult for these residents. They've all found new places as of last week. The place is empty now, but the family of the woman I talked to, her daughter-in-law, said that her mother-in-law is not the same. She's in a new place up in Lawrence, and it's a nice place, but it was a very disruptive move. She thought that she would live out her life. Obviously, she's 99 years old at this place, Ocean View in Beverly, that she really liked, and she basically got evicted and had 90 days to find a new place.
What have you found, Paul, in your covering this story, in terms of officials who are willing to listen and are concerned about this?
Well, yes, I've spoken with Jerry Paracello, the state representative from Beverly. I spoke with Paul Lanzikos, who's a Beverly resident. He leads a healthcare advocacy group. He's the former secretary of Health and Human Services for the state under Governor Dukakis, so he's been involved in this for years. But there has been a movement that even predates this to strengthen the regulations, as I said, around an assisted living. The bottom line is the people I've spoken with, especially Paul Lanzico, said there should be rules. You should not be allowed to basically kick an assisted living resident out of their home and give them only 90 days to find a new place. It's difficult enough to find an apartment for anybody, for a healthy young person these days, never mind for a 99-year-old person in a wheelchair to have 90 days to find a new assisted living facility. Some don't take this insurance, they don't take that insurance, or they might not be the have the right services, for this particular residency. There's so much involved, and just to give them 90 days seems ridiculous. So there is legislation, pending legislation. I need to look into this more, but there is an effort. The bottom line, there's an effort to, at the very least, give more time.
Well,
if this happens to come up again. Paul Lanzico said that he had never heard of this before, that an entire assisted living residence being emptied in 90 days. He said he's never heard of it before.
It's very close to home for me, Paul, because my son, who has Down syndrome, lives in a group home. And we were, his mom and I were fortunate enough a couple of years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago now, that he landed a place in Gloucester, which is so convenient for us. We can see him all the time. If he wants to us, we can help him out. And the staff is fantastic. And I shudder to think what would happen if that were forced on him. I don't know what I would do. And as you say, here he is in Gloucester. I live in Gloucester. And all of a sudden he gets relocated to Peabody or as you say, Lawrence. I mean, that's pretty scary stuff.
Right. No, I was really surprised. I just assumed that the problem, it's sort of, there's also a distinction between assisted living facilities and nursing homes, and that's where it gets complicated. And nursing homes are more highly regulated than assisted living facilities, so it gets into that distinction, too. But hopefully, one thing that will come out of this bad situation is better rules and regulations surrounding it.
Well, stay on that for us because that is really enlightening. And keeping in line with healthcare, the North Shore Birth Center is slated to be closed?
Yes. Beverly Hospital, which owns the Birth Center, is located on the campus of Beverly Hospital. Beverly Hospital announced back in May that it plans to close the center in September. So the North Shore Birth Center is this freestanding building staffed by midwives where, women can go and give birth, a natural birth in a comfortable setting. It's a home-like setting, and it's been around for 50 years now. They've, overseen thousands of births since they opened. And anyway, the hospital announced that they're going to close it. They said they cannot staff it. They can't get the midwives they need to run it. A group formed in opposition, and many of the group are the same people who fought a potential closure of the birth center 15 years ago. The hospital was going to do the same thing, and they actually rallied, and the hospital changed their mind. This is 15 years ago, and kept the birth center open. So this is a second effort to try to close this. But the advocates say they had a big rally outside the hospital with more than 100 people about a month ago. And just last week, Senators Warren and Markey and Congressman Moulton wrote a letter to the Beverly Hospital president saying, please delay this opening. And they requested all kinds of information comparing the cost of giving birth in the birth center versus in the hospital. So there's involvement at the highest level to try to keep this center open. There's a public hearing scheduled for tomorrow night, Wednesday in Beverly, where people can talk about this. So it's really generated a big response. People are upset. Beverly Hospital is owned by Beth Israel Lahey Health, so I have a feeling some of these decisions are getting made at a higher level, and sometimes there might be a disconnect between what's going on locally and the decisions being made in Boston. But the bottom line is that the state, the Department of Public Health, they require a public hearing and they require certain things, but the bottom line is they can't stop the hospital from closing it if the hospital wants to. So the only alternative is to have public pressure, and there is a lot of public pressure right now when you're talking about the state's two United States senators and its congressmen in this district getting involved. So we'll see what happens.
We're talking with Paul Layton of the Salem Evening News. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
All right, we return now with Paul Layton of the Salem Salem News. I said Salem Evening News, didn't I? Sorry.
Evening, I like that. Yeah.
Salem Evening News. Well, I remember when there were two editions when I was at WESX. We had the morning and the afternoon edition. All right. So, Paul, before we end this thing, I want to have a little conversation with you, and it's sort of informal, I think. The recent closing of WBOQ which used to be WBOQ Gloucester, founded back in the 60s by Simon Geller. It was a very hybrid classical radio station that morphed into a station over in Beverly. Been around for a long time. Their local coverage is now gone. We have benefited, MSO News Sports has benefited in that their two sports shows, North Shore Sports Desk and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, have migrated over to MSO, and they're heard here. They drop their shows, their podcasts on Fridays. So we've benefited from that. But not only that, Paul, in terms of I guess strengthening our local coverage, maybe the Salem News local coverage, our papers at the Item, at the Eagle Tribune, is the fact that there's been the demise of Wicked Local in terms of local coverage. So what do you make of the BOQ situation, maybe? How'd that happen? And maybe just your thoughts on local news coverage.
Yeah, that's a good question, Rick. It was disappointing to see essentially North Shore 104.9 disappear. It did have some good local programming with the the sports coverage that you're very familiar with, and the North Shore Sports Desk that you are now hosting, which was a really local, great local program. And I spoke with, I'm just looking at my story now that I wrote a couple of weeks ago, but I spoke with Laura Swanson, the executive director of the Enterprise Center at Salem State, who hosted a show and with Kate Fox from Destination Salem, who hosted the show. There were a lot of shows, hosted by local organizations, and they said that was a great way to get the word out, and to stay connected to their audience on the North Shore. So, yeah, it's like you said, and we've talked about before, Rick, with, local newspapers, and, most people, I think, know that the newspaper industry has really been struggling over the last 20 years now. It's hardly a new story. There were fewer newspapers, and with the newspapers that still exist, there were fewer reporters. And as you mentioned, with Wicked Local, there might still be a reporter left, but there's less local coverage. It's more regional coverage. We do our best at the Salem News. We have basically five reporters, where back in the day we had 20 to 25 reporters. So I think the sale of the radio station, it's now Christian Music, from what I understand, owned by a national chain. So it's just another loss of local news, sports, conversation, another way for people to keep in touch. And it's too bad, because we've talked about this before, Rick, too. On the local level, things aren't as polarized, I think, as they are on the national level. Mm-hmm. And it seems like things can get done in a more civil way with your local city councils and school committees and business organizations. And I've told you before, and I'll write controversial stories that the mayor or some other official might like, but I might see the mayor or somebody else at the YMCA on the treadmill next to me the next day. So we're not going to burn bridges and
right.
call each other's names and not talk to each other anymore. Anyway, it's a long way of saying that's the benefit of local coverage. It's that hometown feel. It gives you coverage of things that nobody else is going to cover, too. That's probably the most important thing. The Boston Globe does a great job. I've always been a fan of them. They're not going to cover the local zoning boards and school committees, so anyway, I think it does represent loss. I think it's great what you're doing with your site, and I think in a lot of ways, things like what you're doing are the answer, the response. A lot of towns that have lost their newspapers, there have been nonprofits and just single, person, somebody all by themselves, they start their own operation. So there have to be new ways to fill these gaps in local coverage.
Well,
it's not going to be easy, but there are movements to do that.
We've been very careful to not be a social media site, and we've tried to establish our credentials, which go back to to the late 70s and early 80s, with all these sources like the Salem News and yourself. And this would be a good point for me to interject the fact that we also have a weekly podcast with the Salem News sports writers and Nick Kukuru of the Gloucester Times, and that usually drops on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, and that's very well received. And talking with you guys. guys. It's great to be able to get the story out. You can't always do it in print. You can't always do it in a newscast. So when we're able to talk to you, we sort of get the story behind the story, and I really appreciate your taking the time to do all that with us.
No, and it's great. I appreciate you giving me the chance to do that. It is good to talk about the business of news. I think over the years, newspapers have been accused, and I think rightly so, of not being so transparent about the way they do business. You know, like I sort of have always assumed people understand how newspapers work, but you know, why should they understand if they've never been in a newsroom or talked to a reporter or an editor? So it's good to explain ourselves, I guess is what I'm saying, especially in this environment where there are fewer newspapers and fewer reporters. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, and hopefully good. It leads people to understand and appreciate the work that local newspapers and other local news organizations like yours do.
Well, thank you for that, and thanks for taking the time. And we're going to discuss this further at some point down the road, and we'll have Paul back on. But in the meantime, that is Paul Layton of the Salem News. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.